Heute im Interview ist Tim Keeley aus Florida. Tim ist Professor für internationales Management an der Kyushu Sangyu University in Japan. Er spricht Dutzende Sprachen fließend und versteht über 40 weitere Sprachen. Wie das genau funktioniert, erzählt uns Tim gleich. Er hat in vielen Ländern der Welt gelebt und sich aufgehalten, wo er eine Sprache nach der anderen gelernt hat. Angefangen hat er in Kolumbien, als er 18 Jahre alt war, und nun wohnt er viele Jahre später in Japan. Und er hat insgesamt über 40 Jahre im Ausland verbracht. Herzlich willkommen, Tim. Ich bin froh, dass du teilnehmen kannst.
Ja, danke, danke. Ich auch.
Zunächst einmal fangen wir an. Du hast eine sehr interessante Geschichte, was Sprachen angeht. Das war schwer, dich auf eine Nummer festzulegen. Und erzähl uns einfach mal, wie viele Sprachen, wie ist der Hintergrund dazu und wie hast du Deutsch gelernt?
Okay, ja, zuerst, ich habe in Kolumbien Deutsch studiert, in der Goethe-Institut. Ich habe ein bisschen Deutsch gelernt, aber das war ungefähr 41 Jahre vor, ja. Und nachher habe ich selbst gelernt. In Kolumbien habe ich auch Französisch und Portugiesisch auch studiert. Ich meine, ich habe Deutsch, Französisch und Portugiesisch auf Spanisch zuerst studiert und das war der Anfang meines Polyglottes-Lebens. Und ich war in Brasilien und ich habe überall in Südamerika gereist und am nächsten ich habe in der Schweiz studiert. Ich habe auch Französisch studiert in Genf. Aber habe ich auch ein bisschen Deutsch im Fernsehen gekocht und ich war ein bisschen in die deutsche Tal in Zürich und ich habe ein bisschen Schweizerdeutsch gelernt, aber ich kann es nicht gut sprechen. Ich kann es verschiedene Sachen sagen, aber ich lese es. Und nachher, ich habe viel in Europa gereist und Deutsch überall, ich war in Deutschland überall vielleicht ungefähr 3 Monate in alles meinem Leben, ja. Mhm. Okay. Und das am meisten war in ungefähr 40 Jahren vor, aber nachher in die letzten Zeit, ich war in Berlin für die Polyglot Gathering, ja, ein paar Wochen. Und ich war in Polen 2 Jahre. Ich habe slawische Literatur studiert, am meisten natürlich Polnisch und auch Russisch und Kroatisch. Wenn ich in der Schweiz war, im Sommer habe ich in Jugoslawien ungefähr 2 Monate, fast 3 Monaten gereist mit Fahrrad und ich habe Serbokroatisch gelernt und auch ein bisschen Slowenisch. Und nachher in Asien. Ich wohne hier in Japan schon ungefähr 36 Jahre. Und in diesem Zeit, ich habe ein paar europäische Sprachen gelernt, zum Beispiel Griechisch und Afrikaans. Ja, Afrikaans ist natürlich von Afrika, Südafrika, aber der kommt von Holländisch. Ja. Und die asiatische Sprache, ich habe hier in Japan chinesische Literatur studiert. Das meine, wenn ich hier gekommen bin, ich habe Japanisch und Chinesisch zusammengelernt. Mhm. Und das gut für Schreiben zu lernen. Und ich habe Koreanisch, Thai, ich war in Thailand wie ein Professor, jedes Jahr ungefähr 2 oder 3 Monate. Mhm. Und ich war in Chulalongkorn Universität. Ich habe ungefähr zusammen, 10 Jahre, 3 Monate, ungefähr 3 Jahre zusammen, ja. Aber ich meine, jedes Jahr 2 oder 3 Monate. Ja, und ich habe ein Buch auf Thailändisch geschrieben. über Japaner Firma in Japan, in Thailand. Und da habe ich auch Indonesien, Malay gelernt und Lao. Und in den letzten 3, 4 Jahren studiere ich viel Nepalisch. Nepalisch, sag mal auf Deutsch, Nepalisch. Nepali.
Nepalisch, Nepalisch, ja, ich glaube Nepalisch.
Okay, Nepalisch. Und tibetische Guru. Tibetisch Tamang Sherpa. Die Sprache gibt ungefähr 130 Sprachen in Nepal. Aber am meisten ich benutze ja, Nepalisch und Tamang. Und die letzte Monate immer, wir waren in Langtang. Wir haben 10 Tage, wir waren 10 Tage auf dem Weg, Trekking. Und ich habe Tamang und Tibetisch gesprochen. Ja, gibt es vielleicht eine andere Sprache, aber jetzt kann ich nicht mehr erinnern.
Also so viele Sprachen, das.
Ich meine, ich habe fast alle die europäische Sprache. Ja, ich war in Italien und so weiter, kann ich Italienisch und so weiter. Ja, ich kann fast alle die europäische Sprache sprechen, gut sprechen, aber am meisten verstehen. Und ja, die asiatische Sprache ungefähr ja, 11 oder 12 Sprachen.
Okay, also so ziemlich alle Sprachen der Welt hast du gelernt oder sprichst du?
Nein, so viel mehr, ja. Ich habe mehr auf Japanisch gesprochen als mehr aus Japanisch als Englisch gesprochen.
Okay, und
Ich habe
wenn
mehr Japanisch benutzt. Ich meine,
und
ich denke, ich wenn ich bin allein bin, ich denke auf Englisch. Aber so, ich habe von 40 Jahren Ausland, ich bin schon 40 Jahre im Ausland, so habe ich nicht so viel Englisch gesprochen in diesem Zeit, ja. Und dann ich unterrichte auf Japanisch und auch Chinesisch und Thai und so weiter. Aber am meisten auf Japanisch. So, ich glaube, ich habe mehr Japanisch als Englisch gesprochen in meinem Leben.
Bemerkenswert. Und wie ist dein Japanisch? Also sprichst du es akzentfrei oder hört
Ja,
man?
das kommt auf den Moment, wenn ich will das tun, ich glaube, ich kann, ja. Ja, normalerweise, ja, man sagt, ja, oh, it's natural, ja. Und ja, akzentfrei, ja, kein Ausländer-Akzent, ja, ich kann auch hier, ich meine, wie sagt man, die Dialekt vom, wo ich wohne, ja, ist Kata-ben, Itoshima-ben. Und das ist auch ein Akzent, aber normalerweise ich benutze die normale gemeinsame Akzent in
Okay,
Japan.
sehr beeindruckend. Und jetzt bist du besonders bekannt für ein Thema, und zwar das Sprachenlernen im Alter. Also es gibt ja diese These, dass Sprachenlernen im Alter nicht so gut funktioniert oder schlechter funktioniert. Und du hast jetzt Erfahrungen seit über 40 Jahren, was Sprachenlernen angeht. Und was sagt deine Erfahrung zu diesem Thema?
Aber was meinst du, du meinst, dass ja, gibt man die sagt, dass man muss in die Kindheit Sprachen zu lernen, oder?
Genau, also die Grundfrage ist natürlich ja, aber wie stehst du zu dem Thema, ist Sprachenlernen im Alter auch möglich oder sch deutlich schwieriger? Ist es zum Beispiel,
Aber was bedeutet du alt, Alter? Was bedeutet das? Wie
also
alt?
ist es mit 30 schwieriger als mit 20, ist es mit 40 schwieriger als mit 30, ist es mit 60 schwieriger als mit 15?
Ah, ja, okay, ja. Für mich ist, oh, ja, ich kann jetzt, ich bin 61 Jahre alt, ja. Und in Amerika, ich habe Spanisch gelernt und ich habe Spanisch benutzt, weil in Florida. Wenn ich 18 Jahre alt war. Ich könnte Spanisch sprechen, aber nur Spanisch und Englisch. Ja. Und Ala ist noch 18 Jahre. Alle die Sprache, dass ich sprechen kann, ich habe nachher gelernt. Ja. Und ich finde, dass ich lerne schneller jetzt als ich in den 20er, 30er, 40er, 50er Jahre, ja. Immer besser.
Und wie hat sich das sonst verändert für dich, das Sprachenlernen? Also du bist besser geworden, weil du viel Erfahrung hast, aber hat trotzdem Alter irgendeinen Einfluss gehabt auf das Sprachenlernen?
Ich habe nicht so gut verstanden. Was fragst du?
Also du sagst jetzt, dass es immer besser geworden ist. Also je älter du geworden bist, desto besser konntest du lernen. Aber hatte auch Alter einen anderen Effekt? Also, dass du besser wurdest, hat ja mit Erfahrung zu tun, weil du so viele Sprachen gelernt hast.
Ah ja, mit der Erfahrung. Ja,
Aber hat,
natürlich
genau,
Erfahrung.
aber
Ja,
hatte.
ohne die Erfahrung, dann ich glaube, ist da schwerer, ja, Sprache zu lernen. Ja, ich meine, gibt ein anderer Mann, die 50 oder 60 Jahre alt ist und hat gar nicht keine andere Sprache kennengelernt. Dann ist ja, schwer, sehr schwer. Aber ich habe immer neue Sprache studiert und benutzt.
Aber hatte Alter auch bei dir irgendeinen Einfluss? Also, dass du Sachen schlechter merken konntest, oder gab es irgendeinen Einfluss von Alter für dich beim Sprachenlernen?
Was meinst du, dieser Einfluss von anderer Sprache, oder
Nee,
ich?
also es wurde einfacher, die Sprachen zu lernen, weil du mehr Erfahrung bekommen hast. Aber hatte das Alter einen Impact, also auf das Sprachenlernen? Also hast du auch andere Sachen gemerkt, die dir schwieriger fallen, weil du älter geworden bist?
Oh ja. Puh. Schwer zu sagen. Ah, ja, das ist sehr schwer zu antworten, weil ich habe immer jedes Jahr, ich habe eine andere Sprache gelernt und eine andere Sprache benutzt. Dann ich habe gemerkt, dass es kommt schneller, weil wie sagt man, die cognate languages, wie sagt man auf Deutsch, similar languages
In
sind.
dieselbe Sprachgruppe, Sprachen aus
Ja,
derselben Sprachgruppe.
von jetzt kenne ich so viel Sprachgruppe, ja, und so viel verschiedene Grammatik und so weiter. Dann ich glaube, das hilft mir,
Okay.
ja.
Und gibt es bestimmte Empfehlungen, die du Älteren, also hast du dieselbe Methode beibehalten während der ganzen Zeit, oder bist du auf andere Methoden übergegangen, als du älter wurdest? Wie lief es da bei dir?
Nein, Methoden, ja, ich habe zuerst ein Buch gekauft, zum Beispiel dieser Colloquio Slovak und so weiter, die ja jetzt wir haben CD oder MP3-File, ja. Und zuerst wie sagt man, die LP, Longplay und oder Kassettentape und so weiter. Ungefähr
Kassettenspieler.
50 Jahre vor. Ja, es war und immer habe ich zu Anfang, ich benutze, ich studiere nur selbst, ja, und manchmal, ich habe in der Goethe-Institut von Alliance Française, Institut Brasil de Cultura studiert. Aber ich lerne besser selbst, ja, und dann nachher mit Leuten sprechen, ja. Erfahrung ist sehr wichtig, ja.
Und
Also.
ich weiß jetzt nicht, ob du, dadurch, dass du immer Sprachen gelernt hast, ob du dazu jetzt was sagen kannst, aber gibt es vielleicht bestimmte Ratschläge oder Tipps, die du Älteren geben würdest, aber nicht Jüngeren? Oder würdest du allen Altersgruppen dasselbe sagen, was zum Thema Sprachenlernen?
Ich glaube, ich selber.
Dasselbe?
Ja, ich glaube, ja, aber das kommt aus. I'm just going to say it in English quickly because I'm kind of trying to think in German is not so easy. Yes, it's nicht so it's einfach, ja. Yeah? So it depends on whether somebody has continuously learned foreign languages or just starting off. In that case, my advice would be different according to the age group.
Sagen wir Leute, die anfangen, also die 60 sind und die erste Fremdsprache in der Schule ein bisschen Fremdsprachen gehabt haben, aber nie wirklich es geschafft haben, die Sprache zu lernen.
Das ist schwer, ich glaube, sehr schwer.
Okay.
Weil, okay, I'm going to drop back in English again so I can
Okay.
do better with it. Because I think the biggest issue is the most difficult language is your first foreign language. When you actually use the language, if you're talking about, just studying in class and taking tests and things like that, then yeah, okay, that's not such a challenge. The challenge is when you live the language. You're, living in a country where the language is spoken and you have to use it every day for, all to meet all your needs, etc. And then, of course, if you want to speak like a native speaker, if you want to pick up the same prosody and accent and reactions, etc. Ja, dann das wird schwer. Wenn man 50 oder 60 Jahre alt ist, hat das nicht getan. Ja, I think, so you see what I'm saying. So it depends. Once you've learned your first foreign language and you've gone through a transformation, basically eine neue Identität. Ja, eine neue Kulturs- Identität gebildet. Ja,
Okay.
das ist sehr schwer. Ja.
Also ich verstehe, dass es schwer ist, dann akzentfrei zu sprechen und perfekt oder auf muttersprachlichem Niveau sehr gut zu sprechen. Aber nehmen wir an, jemand möchte für die Rente nach Spanien auswandern, weil Deutschland ist kalt und oder nach Lateinamerika. Und den Fall, den gibt es ja in Deutschland oft. Und die möchten jetzt Spanisch lernen, aber die möchten das nicht super gut sprechen. Die möchten einfach die Möglichkeit haben, sich mit den Einwohnern zu unterhalten, ohne Probleme.
Ja, das ist nicht so schwer, ich glaube. Ja, man musste studieren. Ja, man muss jeden Tag, zum Beispiel 30 Minuten, eine Stunde, 2 Stunden studieren. Ja, und nachher in Spanien oder in Südamerika, man muss mit den Leuten sprechen und so weiter. Das ist einfach. Das ist nicht so schwer. Aber was für schwer ist, wenn man ziemlich gut sprechen will, ja, und die like a more like a native accent, yeah. I mean, what's a little bit difficult for me, there's a big difference in the way, for example, I'm speaking German now than if I were in Germany for 2 or 3 weeks or 1 month, and then I start to. Well, as I said, I've only been in Germany for about maybe 3 months or so in my whole life, But it was very meaningful 3 months, and even though it most of it was 40 years ago, it was meaningful for me, and so if I can get back into that mindset, then I will do much better in terms of the way I sound in German, and also not make so many mistakes, grammatical mistakes, yeah. Yeah, but that's ich meine, wenn ich habe Deutsch gelernt, ich habe schon das die Erfahrung eine andere mit anderen Sprachen, eine neue kulturisch und Kultur, wie sagt man, eine neue Identität, ja. Yeah? Identität, how would you say culture and linguistic identity, wie sagt man?
Kulturelle und
Hallo und
sprachliche Identität oder
oder
linguistische Identität?
meine auch Kultur, Cultural Identity.
Kulturelle Identität?
Ja, okay, ja, die kulturelle Identität und die sprachliche Identität, ja. But this is, because this is the main point. I mean, if we're going to talk about age in the case of, in terms of difficulty, so is it harder to learn a language at a certain age? Well, mainly the issue is with really creating this new cultural and linguistic identity, where you feel the language, can become yours. You can become part of the community, and you can change the way that you sound. You can get closer to a native like accent, etc. It becomes more difficult with age, usually because people's identity becomes more fixed. That's the problem. So maybe that's what you're thinking about in that sense. So if somebody is 50 or 60 years old, and they've spoken one language, they may have studied a number of languages in school, but they really never used them and didn't have conversations in the language, then I think it's quite difficult to overcome that barrier. But on the other hand, you can find children who maybe grew up with two or three or four languages, but it doesn't mean that later they can easily, let's say they're from Europe and they speak mother tongue maybe German, and they speak French and English, let's say, it doesn't mean like when they go to a very different language like Chinese or Vietnamese or Japanese, that they'll be able to, get the sounds right, because, it's especially when you get to Asian, yeah, die Aussprache, die Chinesisch und Thai und Vietnamese. Ich finde Vietnamese, das war sehr schwer, die Aussprache und die Tonen und so weiter, ja. Aber ja, die erste Mal, ich habe Vietnamese gehört in Pimsleur, es war Sing Loi. Sing Loi, ein, wo was ist das? Was ist das? Ja, Engelhuacham, so what was that? Sing Loi, Engelhuacham, so it took a while to that seemed naturally to me, the tones and such, right?
Ich spreche weiter Deutsch, also wenn du auf Englisch wechseln willst, sagst du Bescheid, ne?
Ja, entschuldigen Sie, es ist gut, weil ich kann auf Englisch, ja. Es geht.
Wenn du dich auf Englisch wohler fühlst, dann können wir auf Englisch wechseln.
Okay, ja, auf Englisch ist es besser für mich.
Okay, then let's switch to English. All right, so you mentioned this cultural identity issue, and that's a very interesting one. I think I've had a concept of that, but never, but really like fluid. Never, I never thought about it as like this term, cultural identity. And so, how do you think you can build a cultural identity in young age or older age?
Well, it's mainly, first of all, identifying with the people of the target language, target. Okay, so let's say you come to Japan, all right? So it's mainly a process of starting to mimic, imitate the way people speak more naturally. That's part of it. So you need the physical part. You actually need to it's greatly facilitated if you use the body language, the same body language. And well, you like in Europe, you can see many different types of body language between like a German and Italian is quite different.
Yeah, it's
For
true.
so for if you learn as a German, if you learn Italian and you still use the body language and the feeling of a German, then it's going to really come out. Even if your pronunciation is correct, you probably won't pick up the same prosody. And even if somehow you're able to, your pronunciation and you don't understand what I mean by prosody, the melody, the way that you speak. Okay, so if your accent and prosody is close to a native Italian speaker, but your body language is German, there's going to be a feeling created. Something's amiss, you know. It's
Yeah,
not
but
totally natural.
I feel like that's a really high level issue. I think most language learners don't worry about this and don't really need to worry about this. To get to this level, you need quite a while, before even having a good, near perfect pronunciation. And I think those are high level issues. So more about the low level issues, because you say that in order to learn languages effectively, you need this cultural identity of maybe the
No,
country.
no, no, no,
No?
no, 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 no. Well, what you're saying is what you said there. Yeah, it's a high level issue. In a sense, yes, it is a high level issue. So if you're just saying, okay, what advice do you have somebody who just wants to learn to communicate the language? They don't care if they, can speak in a very noticeable foreign accent, et cetera, then yeah, I mean, it's not what I'm talking about. Though I must say, if you have the habit of striving for that, in other words, trying to pass as a native speaker, okay, you could play a little game, you know. I always play it throughout the years as I was traveling. So, it's always moment. It's a momentary ability. It doesn't mean you can do it all the time. It depends on the situation and your confidence. So, like right now in this interview, I mean, as I had to think about various things, and I haven't, been speaking German very much over the past 40 years, it's difficult for me to think because, if, wenn du mit mir auf Deutsch sprichst, dann ich denke auf Deutsch, ja. Das ist sehr für mich, auf Englisch denken und nachher auf Deutsch zu sagen, weil it don't translate in my mind so often, so just sometimes when I don't understand, that makes it difficult, okay? So, even if you have this habit of trying to like pass as a native speaker, then you really pay attention to the way people pronounce things and their prosody, the melody of the language and their body language, etc. And I think you'll find that by doing this, even as a beginner, it helps. It's a first step. You mean, because your original question that I'm still addressing now is, what do you do to create this new linguistic and cultural, identity? Well, part of the mechanics of it, what you actually intentionally do would be that kind of imitation. Now, see, when I use the words imitation and mimic, and no, I hope people don't bring with them the negative connotation it has some, obviously not every, I like to be original. Look, if you're original in the way you speak, nobody's going to understand you. No, communication is through, we are for you're following a pattern. Okay. That pattern means like grammar and words and the way you pronounce it. If you pronounce it incorrectly, people are not going to, if it's really off, are not going to understand. And, this is, you become really aware of this when you get to, languages, families outside of Europe, for your European listeners. So maybe it's okay between German and Dutch and English and so on, and French and Spanish and okay, So, oh, he has a German accent in French or a French accent in English, et cetera. But when you get to languages which, have tones, have totally different, have some very different phonetic elements, the difference between like ta, 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 and these are all very separate. But for example, one time in Thailand, I said tang prithet, and the person didn't understand me. I said what? I said tang prithet. They didn't understand me, and then I realized, oh, tang prithet. They understood. Okay, so to me, to you, right? We wait. The last part all sounds the same, but the first part. So just getting these little things in the rhythm of speech, some people, I generally have not too much difficulty understanding various, foreign accents and languages because of the experience I've had. But some local people, they who are monolingual may not, they won't, fall with you. Okay, so as a beginner, if you pay close attention to pronunciation and prosody and, the way people express themselves, the body language, the facial movements, etc., it helps in, learning how to speak more like a native speaker quicker. Okay, so somebody has the attitude, no, I, look, if I learn the vocabulary and I got the grammar more or less correct and people understand me, I'm fine. Okay, all right, good, go ahead. But, you're going to understand better and you're going to create, it's going to be more of a challenge if you start to try to imitate and mimic in the good sense. Okay? I mean, that's, we our whole lives, it's all, we've done that, from the day you're born. Not just with language, but for everything, the way you walk, the way a woman walks, the way a man walks, it's different, not just because of anatomy, but because they're learning, they're mimicking, differently. Okay,
Okay,
so.
so this actually brings me to a few questions. And the first one being, I feel like you distinguished between learning a language to be able to speak and learning a language to be able to feel or try to be a native speaker. So, like you said, the one is learning vocabulary, a little bit of grammar, and so that you can actually be able to communicate. And the other one is like mimicking and other and stuff. So, do you think like those are two different, those are two fundamentally different approaches to language learning, and or is no?
Well,
So, like
okay.
how?
Yes and no. Yes and no. Yeah, they're fundamentally different in the in the sense that you're paying more attention to pronunciation, the way people speak, etc., and you're trying to do the same in one case. In the other case, you're not worrying about that. Okay, and in some cases, that's fine, but it depends on what language it is, and it depends which language you're coming from. Okay, I can give you a good example, comparing English with Japanese. So there are people who study Japanese, English speakers, okay, who don't give up the complex phonetic vowel system that we have in English, okay? And because actually, depending on which dialect you speak, but in general, you could say that American English and British English, basically, they distinguish between 26 vowel sounds. We only write five. Okay? So the obvious ones would be difference between like pope and pop. The O becomes an A, etc. Vowel reduction. Okay? Most European languages don't have that. Russian does. Okay? And then German, you have it, but you mark it. Okay? So it's understood. Different. We have a different symbol for it, but in the English, we don't mark it, all right? So okay, so English speakers, they have the way the even though they implicitly understand that if you have a consonant vowel consonant, the vowel in the middle is reduced. Okay, so as I just said, between pope and pop. Ah, it's reduced because it doesn't have a vowel after it. And there's the rules get more complicated, etc., etc. So they look at Japanese, and if they're learning Japanese with Roman alphabet, and so they'll look at the name Tanaka and say Tanaka, Tanaka. Now all those are just ah in Japanese because Japanese only has five vowel sounds plus elongated. Okay, now.
They're all what?
They have five. They have five vowel sounds, just like you. The main five that you have in German. So a, e, a, u, o. The orders will be different. Okay, kaki, ke, ko, u. Okay, so they have the five vowel sounds plus elongated. In other words, you have a long o and a long u. For example, you have Jose, Jose, Jo, Jo. Okay. That's all they have. So let's say that somebody, oh, I don't care if I, sound like a Japanese native, Just learn Japanese this way. So they'll say, Tanaka. Nobody's going to send that. Or they'll say, like when they say karate. You know what karate is?
Yeah,
Karate. You know
karate.
karate? Yeah.
I mean, I know
Okay.
the sport. I didn't do it.
But Nihongo dekimasu? Do you speak Japanese?
No.
Yeah, your pronunciation was correct.
Karate?
Yeah.
Oh,
Kara,
yeah.
come on, kara. Karate.
I just that's just because you said that all of them have to be the same, so I just
But
tried
how
my
would you say it
shot.
in German, for, how would you say it in German, for example?
Karate?
Okay. All right. So you do pronounce somewhat different. Okay. So yeah. So people would say karate and Japanese won't understand.
Yeah.
So they say karaoke, they don't have no idea what you're talking about. Karaoke, you know. So kimono, kimono, the way that they pronounce it, okay? So they have no idea what you're saying.
But like those are mostly issues for Asian languages, right? Like if you stick to European, that won't be as much of an issue, right?
Yeah, it won't be as much an issue because yeah, their phonetic systems are similar. You know, Japanese doesn't have any tones, Korean doesn't have any tones, but yeah, it's not even deal with tones in this case. Yeah, I guess well,
Because
let's get back. Your fundamental question there was, is this two different approaches to learning languages? You know, your goal is set to sound like a native speaker, you know, get passed for a native speaker goal compared to I just want to communicate goal. Are they fundamentally different? I think, well, yeah, an attitude they are. And I think you'll make a lot more progress if your goal is to try to imitate the way that the natives speak. And there's so many different ways, obviously. There's so many dialects. So, you know, for example, when I was learning German, I was also, you know, experimenting in different places. You know, like if I was in Munich, I would say Igehausen. You know, Ige, I would say Ishge, yeah,
Yeah.
Ige, you know. You know. So yeah, I would say can I dish, I would say can I eat, you know, can I,
I'm from
you know.
Northern Germany, so
Oh, okay.
yeah.
But anyway, I try to, you know, imitate that and learn that, okay? So this is from my standpoint, is something that when I went to Colombia, I really wanted to like fit in and you know, s just make it seem natural that I was there, you know, and not always born. I was going to university there. So basically, you know, I try to sound like
Did you
other Colombians
succeed?
around.
Did you succeed? Did people, did
Yeah.
you pass off as Colombian?
The trouble is, times there's not so many people who look like me in Colombia. I mean, there are people who I, you know, you can't tell. I'm 1 meter 91. And you know,
Oh,
they're
wow.
Colombians too. You know, my hair was blonder back then, you know. I was 18 years old, and so no, I looked like a gringo, really.
Okay.
Had a gringo look to my face, okay?
Okay.
So yeah. Yeah, no, I could pass at times. And most as again, at times, when I say goal is to like pass as a native speaker. I'm fine if I don't reach it all the time, and it's just fun to see sometimes if I can do it, you know, in the interaction, people don't, you know, start wondering, oh, are you know, not from here type thing. It's just for me, it's always been a fun goal, okay? And I've read, you know, many different blogs, etc., and I know other people who, you know, have also played this game
Yeah, I love
of,
that
you know,
as well. Like,
yeah. Yeah. Well, I would say, for example, if I started talking to you now and I didn't know you, let's say we met in Nepal and we were trekking, I wouldn't say you were German right off, which is quite an achievement when you're speaking English, you
yeah,
know?
I like that's I actually share that goal. Like, I like to pass off as a native, and sometimes I can fool Americans.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, no, it's fantastic. Yeah, no, I can see it. And the fact that it is a goal, hasn't that made it easier for you to learn, you think?
I don't think it becomes a goal right off the bat. Like, I think it
No, no.
becomes a goal later.
Yeah. Of course, of course. Yeah, we'll see. It depends who we're speaking to, what audience are we speaking? I don't think we're speaking in to many people who haven't already studied a number of languages
No,
or.
most people are learning the first or maybe the
Okay.
second language.
Yeah. Okay. So,
Yeah,
So,
of course, it's right when you start off.
yeah. So that brings me to the question. Those are very valid and interesting points, and I agree that that's important. And I also think it's better to approach the whole language learning thing with maybe not I want to pass as native, but I want to be like a native. But I think for language learners that start off, they have lots of things to focus up on. And like, so they have to focus on vocabulary, grammar, speaking, like a million things. Like, you know how to go about when learning a language because you've done it so many times. And I know as well how to proceed when I want to learn a new language. But I think somebody who starts with language, this will come off like this will be comp. They were like, oh, and I have to focus on that as well. Like, they just
No,
get
no.
confused and they just stop in total. So,
No,
like,
I think we shouldn't look at it that way, or they should. Somebody listening to our conversation now, this discussion, shouldn't take it as, oh, it's something I have to do. Rather just start to get an understanding that, hey, I should, if I pay attention to the way people are speaking, the pronunciation and the prosody and their body language, and then I start to imitate it. Oh, maybe they're probably going to find this easier. If you look at small children, well, often people say, oh yeah, it's much easier to learn language when you're young and such. So you look at a 6 year or 7 year old interacting in a new language, new culture, they naturally imitate. Okay, so,
of course.
because they don't have the they don't have made the same hang-ups and such, about, oh, what do I sound like, or this is so different and such. So if you want, I've written about a lot. I've written a lot about the age factor in language acquisition, and all the arguments that it's easier to learn it when you're younger. I only agree in the sense that but it's not something. It's a psychological, social, attitudinal issue. It's not a developmental issue. It's not like something physically in your body at that time, and that often when you take a look at the brain and see how it develops, say at that time, okay, that's really the time where it's the easiest. And this is a long discussion, about about what happens in the brain to over the years and language acquisition, etc. But I've come to the conclusion that the majority of the issue is your attitude, also your personality traits in terms of whether you're flexible in terms of fitting in with new people and new comes with new experiences and becoming somebody else or something. It's the same like if you go to acting, like who are good actors? Those are people who like to become somebody else, because they say, okay, yeah, life is a stage, and well, so basically people who monolinguals who only have one way of generally speaking, though their accent does change over the years depending on where they move to. Basically, they're only playing one linguistic cultural role in life, play many more. So maybe it's easier to learn these roles when you're a child because you're more lighthearted in that sense, willing to take on the different roles. And also, you haven't had all this history of playing one role, and it's hard to break out of it, I mean, I find it, as I say, I find it easier. For example, German. I would, if we were to have this interview after 2 or 3 weeks in Germany, it would be much easier for me to do it in German because I would be back into that feeling, So it's not so easy to jump from one to the other,
So
But
what? Oh,
it's
sorry.
all developed. We have that.
So basically, what you're saying is it doesn't get more difficult to learn a new language with age, but it's rather a construct in your mind. It's character because you lived most of your life as monolingual, so it's hard to accept that new identity, and that's actually what's impeding your process and not the fact that you're just older.
But that's we're simplifying it down now. What's again, we, as you said before, we're talking about high level. High level in the sense that of
getting closer to a native speaker in terms of, the way you communicate with everything, prosody, pronunciation, and body language. Yeah. Okay. Now, if during the, if you're 60 years old and in the past, let's say 40 years, not only did you never study a foreign language, but you really haven't used your brain a lot.
Yeah, okay. That makes
Then you're
sense.
going to have some great difficulties, okay?
So you think if you, sorry. So you think,
Well, I think, with my last statement there, right? I
okay.
mean, we could look at studies, et cetera, and obviously, the more it's like the old adage, the more you use, it's like a muscle, the more you use it, the stronger it gets, type things. Well, the more you use your brain, the healthier it is, the more flexible it is, et cetera. So.
So it's two things. One is character, because or the character you see in yourself, and it has formed so much because you've been this character for so long. And the second one is not the age of your brain, but rather because you haven't used it that much in the past year. Because like when you're younger, you're in education all the time. So it's
Yeah.
also it has also to do with the fact that you're just not used to using your brain a lot or.
Right.
For
There could
new
be many
things, for
factors.
new
Yeah.
things, to new
Yeah,
learning.
but there could be many other factors which not necessarily related to age, but could be, in other words, your likes and dislikes. So generally, if you look at people, the people's likes get stronger and dislikes get stronger as they get older,
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, they're not experimental as not as much, et cetera. Okay, so yeah, there's again, but I would classify all these things under psychological traits and attitudinal traits.
Okay.
Okay. So your attitudes
Yeah,
and
so
your basic,
like
yeah,
so
are you
the first
open to
thing.
new experiences or closed, et cetera? Yeah.
So like character as in the way your character formed.
Right. Okay, so
So
then you also have, as you say, using your brain,
yeah.
over the years. Yeah, the more you, so let's say that if I don't know, maybe if somebody has really been engaged in some tasks that really challenge, us mentally over all throughout their life, I would say that probably would assist them in learning a new language, just in terms of grammar. Remember the grammar and vocabulary, retention and short-term memory and all those areas that they probably maintain it or increase their ability in those areas. So, the age of your brain, the age of your body, it's not just a chronological thing. It's also, how have you used it? For example, I've always been very active my whole life, and so I go to the gym at least 5 days a week, and so I have my yoga and weightlifting, and then 1 hour on a step machine. So I do 1,200 calories within 1 hour, and the trainers who are in their 20s can't do that. And then because I go trekking in the Himalayas, crossing 5,000 meter passes and such, I have no problem. So it's just, your lifestyle, your brain, your body, also obviously your physical fitness greatly increases your ability to, use your mental powers, right? Yeah.
So let's translate that into advice. And I want to tell you how what I think somebody should do, and you tell me whether you think that's whether I understood correctly. So
Right.
you want to be able to open up your character. So you have to be more open to the fact that you can learn a language, be more open to the fact that languages are good, and like trying to forget about your past experiences, your bad experiences. I mean, this is not really concrete, but like maybe just have an open-mindedness about language learning when you learn your first language when you're older. So that would be the first boiled down tip, right?
Okay.
Am I
Yeah,
correct?
of an open mind. Okay.
Okay, and the
Yeah.
second one would be physical and mental fitness. So do sports, do tasks that involve that you need your head for, like maybe math or whatever, and that would also help you with learning a language.
Maybe. But you might as well, if you want, if your goal is to learn a language and you want to do mental tasks, well, spend it on learning the
Yeah,
language.
of course. But I mean, like,
Yeah.
if you're
Stay
if
mentally fit. Yeah. Just don't sit back and watch soap operas all day
Yeah,
and,
of course.
right. Yeah.
But I mean, even for people
Operas
that
in a language, then it's okay.
Sorry?
It's a soap opera or the TV is in a, it's okay. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. That makes sense. I mean, I haven't thought about it this way, but this makes a lot of sense. And this actually the way you described it, I thought about Luca Lampariello, who I interviewed, who said that what he does is he pretends to be whatever nationality whose accent he wants to learn. So if he wants to be if he wants to speak English like a US American, he pretends that he's an American. And
That's interesting. Yeah.
just the thought of this is what gives him the capability to do his accent better and maybe speak better, like role playing, like the way you said it.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, this is what we were talking about before, playing the passes the native speaker game. So in order to do that, so he when he said, yeah, just the thought of that, behind all that means, yes, I'm paying attention to the way people pronounce things, you know, the melody, the prosody, their body language, etc. Okay, so yeah, that's all behind what his thought. Just you know, thinking. Okay, and yeah, I'm an American, so I want to sound like American. You know, one of the tough things for me sometimes is sounding like an American. Yeah, no, on this interview, it's been pretty easy. Sometimes I lose it, you know. If I'm around people speaking other English in different ways, then automatically, you know, I start to drift, you know, that way. And I find it hard to get back to the accent, you know, that I had when I was, well, semi-monolingual, you know, let's say up to age 18. Because my over the years, it really affected my accent in English, you know. So like when just like people go to India and sooner or later they're also, you know, doing, they're getting the body language and, you know, they start to, they, my accent can be affected immediately sometimes when I rent to a certain group. If I'm not careful, if I'm not aware of it, talk about it in English, my native tongue. And actually, that's the hardest for me, I think.
That's
English more
what?
than, it's the hardest for me to really sound like an American, like, you know. I mean, no doubt in anything. Often I get, you know, I'm not when I'm not paying attention, and if back in America, people would say like, "Where are you from?" In the sense of you're not from the United States,
Okay, that's
and it's
funny.
not necessarily the way I'm speaking to you right now because I think if I listen back to the way I sound right now, I think it sounds pretty American.
Yeah, I'd say so.
But yeah, because I'm sort of making an effort right now.
Okay. Yeah, I
You want to
think
say?
I can tell about similar experiences when I went to Colombia with my friend from Bavaria. After a month, I started to take over traits from his German, and he started to take over traits from my German, and I noticed that, and that was interesting. But
Yeah.
what's even more interesting is when you go into another language, and I feel like I have a different personality when I speak English, because I've experienced life very differently when I was speaking English. So I feel like the impact of when I was speaking English had more the or when I was speaking English, what I my experiences had a much bigger impact into when I'm speaking English than my experiences when I was speaking German. So
Okay.
that's. Sorry?
Yeah, I was just going to say, excuse me for interrupting, but you're asking about cultural identity, and there it is right there.
Yeah, exactly. And, but
Because
I've.
the reason why you feel like a different personality and such is because each language has these certain scripts. Scripts meaning how you should act. Okay? It's how you should view things, how you should perceive, how you should interpret, how you shouldn't act. So if you feel different when you speak a different language, you're in those scripts. And that is your developed cultural personality.
Yeah,
Sorry.
definitely.
Yeah.
And I feel that with English because when I'm speaking English, I'm more of an extrovert than when I'm speaking German, because in the US, when I lived in the US, people are just more extrovert, and like I
In general, yes.
yeah, so that
Finally.
happened to me as well.
Freundlich.
Yeah.
Something, I mean, I was watching Easy German to get my mind back in German, and so you know that program? Okay. And they were talking, some of their programs are about, do find the one I saw was it's hard to make friends in Germany and such, and whether, what do you think about Americans and this and that? And one girl says, okay, Americans are very open. It's at first very friendly, but later, she said shallow or something, whatever. Okay. Anyway, yeah. Okay. I can definitely agree with what you're saying. I mean, you're now pointing out all the things that you were asking about, and I was commenting on through your own experience, because you have developed a definite cultural identity to go along with your English, and that's what helps you to not sound like a German speaking English. You have the feeling, it's a certain feeling. Because it's so abstract, it's hard to really define it and say, okay, this is what happens. But as Luca said, and what I was saying before, is that basically, explicitly or at least implicitly, it becomes natural after a while. You are imitating, and because you're imitating, you're paying more attention to the way things are pronounced, and the sound of the language and their body movements and the way they communicate.
That definitely makes sense, and I guess that's the way to mastery of a language.
Yeah, and that's a mastery in the sense that you sound natural in the language. I mean, there are people who just want to learn how to read and such and understand that way. It's a different goal.
It depends on
Now,
your
I think
goals.
so. Getting back to the question about over the years, the ages. I think since at a young age, let's say when I first went abroad at 18, until now. So 40 something years of always doing this, so you kind of get better at it too. I haven't changed that much, but you kind of get better at that aspect. The important thing is, compared to somebody who's never done it, if they're 60 years old, then for all this we're talking about, well, change is such a big change. I've always spoken like this. I've always felt this way. I've never tried, all those barriers there, and then of course, how to learn. So we've learned over the years how we learned a language personally, on a personal basis. Many people have methods that they teach or they sell. They have their kids, and it's fine with me. But I have my own method, and if you've never studied a foreign language, it may be useful to follow somebody's method for you. And then if it works, it works. Great. If it doesn't, then look for a different one. But I think it's important to develop your own way, I mean, I get certain advice. Like I would say, never try to learn words in isolation. In other words, don't go through word lists with one-to-one translation. Use sentences, use paragraphs, use context, things like that. I think those are general smart advice. But all the other stuff, whether one it does better, through more listening, or more reading and listening together, and all, those combinations. That's a really personal thing.
I spoke to many polyglots, and that's also the sentiment that I got, that everybody has their own method and they have to develop it. But I think there are similarities, especially one thing which is application. Like, whatever method you choose, you have to apply. Like, if you want to get better at reading, that's what you got to do. If you want to get better at speaking, that's what you got to
That's
do. So, like, I think that what combines all of it. And that's what I also see with language learners who learn their first language, that this is a concept easy to not to understand, but to hear. And everybody thinks they understand it, but they don't. Because if people tell me, yeah, I want to speak better, and I've been reading, and I've been learning words, and I've been learning grammar, but I haven't been speaking, then they didn't understand. Because when you want to speak better, that's what you got to do. Like, you got to apply the language, otherwise you won't learn it.
And part of that is that process. That depends on what under what conditions you are studying. Nowadays, of course, we can do as we're doing right here. We have Skype, etc., so we can have a language exchange and so on. But most of the time, spending learning a language is not in contact with somebody. I learn on my own, and I usually set a goal. For example, when I learned Greek and Afrikaans, I said I learned that after coming to Asia. It's because I was going to a conference there. And it wasn't the gathering it wasn't the gathering in or the conference in Greece I was preparing for. It was a different academic conference, cross-cultural psychology, back in 2006. So I spent like 500 hours, at least maybe 500 to 700 hours over a period of about 6 to 8 months, studying Greek before I left. So I went through a number of different courses and such, and I reached advanced level. And according to the course book and some of my understanding, but I hadn't spoken to anybody. So I create a lot of dialogues in my head. I pretend that I was speaking. I do it all the time, in preparation. I think, what kind of conversation I had. And I think all polyglots do it. It's like, think about the most common, like 100 types of questions and phrases that you'll need, when you meet somebody. That gives you confidence. You learn to say it well, and they come back. This is a very important part of getting good, because you have to create confidence in the other person. They are confident that you understand and that you can speak the language. Otherwise, they start, breaking up the way they speak. They start simplifying and et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. So this, if you want to speak, yes, you have to learn how to speak. But you can also do things like that. You can create these in your head. You have the same experience where you imagine conversations.
Yeah,
How would I say?
I pretend or imagine having that conversation that I'm about to have. Like I'm preparing for it mentally, and that it's like preparing for a speech. Like you practice that speech, and the same thing for a conversation. You practice that conversation, and it may be completely different, but it gives you something to grasp on, and it gives you
Well, what
security.
it I think what it does is it takes away the tendency to use a part of your analytical part of your brain, which is looking at what is the grammar and this and that and how you perform. You get away from that because it's become automatic. If you practice a certain speech or a certain dialogue long enough, then you just say it just like that, and then you learn to say it, perhaps like a native speaker, so easily. Oh, there's this good impression, and that first impression is quite important, I
That's
think.
true. That's very true.
And then now you're more relaxed. Now you're more relaxed. I mean, so just like we're doing this interview today, we start off in German. But as I said, the trouble I had was trying to think about your question in German wasn't easy for me. So immediately I started thinking about it in English, and then I had to go back to German in my head, because oh, how am I going to explain this? And a good part of it is, I haven't, used it in such a long while, so I don't have that confidence to do it. And that, that's very important,
Yeah,
right?
of course.
But if I said to myself in any language, which I know fairly well or can understand fairly well, I said, okay, I'm going to discuss, this subject. So then I learn all about that and, practice in my mind so I can explain it.
Yeah, that's
I mean,
true.
think about it. I've been lecturing in Japanese now for 27 years. Okay, do I speak like a native Japanese speaker? That depends, situation, etc. There are things that very common words that not so common, like let's say, I should say, in words I don't usually use, but I maybe I just wouldn't have it tip my tongue. It might be a native speaker would know it, but there are a lot of words and terms I know in Japanese that many Japanese don't. I'm explaining it to them. Okay, I'm not teaching language. I'm teaching content. Like I'm teaching management. So if I say like, ringisho, ringise, my students, and even if I write the characters, they don't understand the first character. The ring part, usually. So I have to explain it to them. I have to explain it to adults. So you prepare yourself for a certain, the domain that you're going to be working in.
Relevancy.
Relevant. And I guess another thing is, for advices in languages, practice for the domain that you'll be using. If you're traveling,
Absolutely.
practice the domain.
Absolutely, yeah. Relevancy, it's again,
If you want to talk
relevant
about
stuff.
philosophy, practically talking about philosophy, reading about philosophy in that
Yeah,
language.
yeah. Absolutely.
Because there are things I know in economics, etc. It's a kotebue. Some of my Japanese friends, they have no meaning. They don't understand. It's a discount rate. It's what the central bank lends to commercial banks as a rate. Okay. So, but they don't know these terms, and but when I over the 27 years now, I've always used them. So to me, I have this certain vocabulary and ability to express things in Japanese, which is beyond, let's say, the majority of the population who haven't studied it, not in that
Yeah,
field.
of course, yeah.
So it becomes esoteric, but it
Yeah.
doesn't mean I can talk about everything. If I'm talking about gardening, maybe I don't know,
Yeah, of
all the.
course. Maybe not even in English.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, not even in your mother tongue.
Yeah. Well, we've been talking for over an hour. This was highly
Okay.
interesting. I feel like we can talk for many hours more, and there's hundreds of topics we can cover.
Yeah, I'm sorry if I've gone all over the place. I
No,
tend
it's
to
okay. It's
have to say.
we got a full view, so that was definitely interesting, and maybe some other time we can talk about other topics. Thank
Okay.
you so much for coming on. Sorry?
I just ask you one question?
Yep, sure.
Which languages have you studied?
I grew up bilingual, German, Russian, and so those two, English, French, Spanish, and Hebrew. Those are my six languages.
Okay. So maybe we can get together. You can help me with Hebrew when I get around to working at it some more.
Yeah,
Sababa.
I haven't practiced Hebrew for almost a year now, so I feel like it's leaving me slowly, but so it's my goal, like starting within the next few weeks, to get it up to speed again, and
Okay.
then I can definitely help you out,
Okay.
Sababa.
Okay. Tov
Betach.
meod. Tov meod.
Tovmeod.
Okay.
Ken.
Yeah. Sorry, I broke it up. Go ahead
Yeah.
and finish it up.
So just yeah. So thanks so much for coming on. Anything you would like to add?
Well, I love talking about these things. I hope I didn't bore anybody, and
No.
excuse me for any mistakes I made in German.
No problem.
Sorry, I couldn't finish the whole thing in German, but as I explained why.
Yeah.
And well, I hope you enjoy the program. If you would like to communicate with me, just contact me through Facebook or whatever. If you're a polyglot, you can find me in the community group.
I'll make sure to include the links so that people can find you.
Okay, you might want to include the link of my academic papers where I
Yeah.
discuss
Yeah.
systemically about Asian language acquisition,
Yes.
etc.
Yep.
Okay.
That would be the first one.
Yeah, just one quick explanation, throw it in.
Yeah.
Yeah, now my background, PhD is cross-cultural management, okay, but I studied a lot of linguistics, and so I combined the two because I focus on cultural adaptation, international human resource management. So that's why my papers deal with language. They deal with the language
Yeah.
side and cultural side.
Yeah,
Okay.
it's interesting because you got the experience like many academics don't.
Yeah.
So,
Yeah, it makes a big difference. It's a big
yeah.
difference.
Great.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll
Thank you
definitely
so
include a
much.
link to that. And thanks so much for coming on.
Enjoyed it. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, and I'll see you soon.
Cheers.
Tschüss.